John.
Miralee.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What time? I don't even know what time it is.
I know, I
It
don't
is
either.
afternoon. Yeah. Been kind
Yeah.
of a dazzling morning.
Dazzling? How so?
Oh, I've been outside in the sun. Not that I don't, I mean, I'm there, I have sun every day, of course, but I mean, I've been avoiding it because I've been so busy with projects and it's fun to go out there and just sit there and, you know, like sun gaze, sort of like my version of sun gazing,
Wow, I love it. It's healing. It's kind of gloomy
so
today.
I miss you though. I do.
I know. Been a
We're,
minute.
yeah.
I know. And I'm in a weird kind of funk, I think. Like a weird silent type of mood.
Well,
Kind
I wonder. I mean, it's like I think if you, yeah. I mean, I'm always looking for an answer, but there's this, it's like waiting for opening day. I mean, you know, like if you're a duck hunter, you wait for the opening gun. If you're, if you're in Dresden during the Second World War, you're waiting for the bombing to start. If you're whatever, and I think you and I are both in kind of that position right now. We're waiting for a publisher to move it forward. And we're waiting for, and then we're getting sort of, our ducks in a row in that regard. So, yeah, I've been over the last few days, I've been reading the master transcript of the second book as it relates to the game, which is your book, of course, which is the capstone for the whole affair. And it's better than I, every time I read it, it gets better. It just gets keep just keeps getting better. And the back and forth connection with your with who you are in the universe is just amazing. Who you are in the ether of the universe. I mean, you're like, I don't want to call you dark matter because that's kind of a bad idea, even though dark matter doesn't have a bad connotation, but in science, but you are, and I'm not a big fan of René Descartes, so I don't want to call you I am who I am, but that's what you are, I don't know.
You know what's been amazing to me is, reading the book as you're writing it, right? And feeling the emotions, the thrill of it, your imagination takes over, you just see all this stuff on the screen and you're feeling it, but I'm actually living it, like it's a parallel to me. And it's just
Well,
it's weird.
I think that's true in actuality and science. I think that's true because I did not sit down and, when that book came into view, when the notion came into view, I did not do what a Richard or David McCulloch would do and, and map out how I'm going to write a story about the medical profession in Paris. I sat down with, and sat down and thought for a moment. Listened to the universe and started writing. And I wrote straight through. I didn't take one note. I didn't put up one flashcard. I did nothing. I wrote your story as it was given to me through the fleshy tablets of my brain. And that's what I did. I mean, I don't think, I'm sure some people can do that. But I did it without pro I mean, I don't have a background, I just somebody hooked me up and said, write this, sit down, write this, and then they probably said, I wish you knew how to type better. I said, damn, Lucas, you're a lot slower than we thought.
Yeah, but just the fact that you wrote this book is incredible. I mean, all the hurdles, all just all the stats are against you going, who does that? Who?
Yeah, thank you for that because I, yeah, It's been assist me in task, all right? Because it wasn't just
Oh my gosh.
writing a book. I've been fighting a lot of other stuff.
Right. And you persevered through all of that. It's just mind-boggling. And for me, obviously being the subject matter there, for me, I'm living it. I am right now, I can feel energetically that I am in the nothingness. I feel like I'm floating through space in silence.
Yeah, well, I mean
That's what I feel like.
that's how you identify yourself to all the to the committee and to, to the seraphim.
I know, but I'm living it.
Well,
It's
I was watching you, so I know you're living it. Well, good for you. I mean, that's great. I mean, I don't want to make light of that because it's important. I think it's valid. And I think it's important. And what struck me about it as the author is that I, as I read the part we're talking about right now, which is of you, and your and the rest of your cohorts, not cohorts, but people that you're saving, effectively saving everybody through space. It was so beautiful. I mean, I was just emotional. I got emotional when I was reading it. God, I just said, wow, this is, I mean, wow. Holy moly.
You don't get emotional reading that book, especially at the end. I
Yeah.
mean,
Yeah.
ugh.
No, you just gotta want to be there.
To me, it feels like I don't know, like everything's been washed away and it's starting new. And it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
It just gives you hope and wonder, and it's like, can this be real? You want it so bad, and then you realize that love really is the answer. Just perfect, John.
Thank you. I'll try and figure out who I can thank upstream, but that's
That's really amazing, and to think that, I don't know, just others were reading it, and I would just love to be a fly on the wall.
Well, I got one comment yesterday from a 17-year librarian who was a beta reader, and said, this is a very sophisticated book, very sophisticated. And I thought, yeah, got that right.
It is. And but I wonder if that word, that description would turn people away, like that's too much for me. Sophisticated?
It might, but I mean that'll change. I mean people will, because it doesn't start out that way. It becomes kind of sophisticated as it goes. But really, it's a study of history.
It's a work of art, is what it is.
Okay, yeah.
It just is. And sophisticated, yeah, because somebody knew what they were doing.
All right, so I'll give you another story then. Today, we're out in the back, same 17-year librarian, same situation, this time outside, reading another whack of the manuscript. Starts to cry, saying to me, I don't thank you enough.
Oh,
This is such a
God.
beautiful book. What do you
It's just confirmation, John. It's so beautiful.
Pretty cool.
Oh, God, it's just so beautiful. You can't say it enough.
Yeah.
And to think that that's going to be delivered. Yeah, I don't know what she was reading, but it's just proof positive of what humanity needs.
Yep. Yes.
We're so ready for it. It's been a long time coming.
Well,
A long time.
yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily,
I mean,
your endurance race has been pretty long. Mine has been relatively short. I just got lucky. But
you didn't just get lucky.
yeah,
No, I'm sure. Like anybody off the street, hey, you want to write this book? I'll give it to you. No. It just, for me, to see it come to fruition, after so many years of trying to, hammer the message in to people just that love is the answer, but have them hear it and not just, like a candy, taste it for a minute and go, oh, yeah, you're right, that's candy.
Yeah.
No. You don't get it. It's magical. It's the gobstopper. It's the, Yeah.
Think too,
It's a,
I think too, it's very unusual in context, which comes a little bit out of Deal, Danger, Destiny. In, for example, my relationship with Aquinas in Deal's Danger Destiny, as that relationship carries forward into Floppy Feathers. And the relationship with the people both dead and alive, I mean, it's complete seamless crossover between life and death as these people commingle back and forth.
Right.
It's seamless, totally seamless.
And that's why it's sophisticated.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what has happened there in that story, there's every single facet, like a diamond. And it's flawless. You just turn it around, it just sparkles and you discover more and then it makes you think and then there's stuff to study. You can go in and research it all, if you have any doubt at all, research it. It's all there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
I think, and I, to my publisher's credit, he wrote me a letter after the thing came in when I was talking about the dedication, which leads to my publisher's level of sophistication as well, which is very high. And as I'm reading the book again, in the master transcript, I'm realizing how accurate the dedication is. And how sophisticated, again, I hate to keep using that word, but it is. And his humorous comment to me about Schrodinger's cat, and I was taken back, but how happy that made me. Well, I just think very much. I mean, when somebody's on the mark, when you know
Yeah.
they got it,
Right.
makes you feel good. And he
Oh,
nailed
yeah.
it. He just totally nailed it. And I'm thinking, God dang. We could be onto something here. This could be just fantastic. And I mean, it just is. I mean, I know it is, but the thing is, who else knows it is? Well, he knows it is.
Well,
You
that's
know,
the
if
thing.
you know,
When
and
people get it, when whoever it is, when they get it, I mean, the excitement is like, holy cow. It's like you are running on fire.
yeah.
You want to alert everybody. It's like and you're holding, the Holy Grail. You're running around going, look, here it is.
I
Here
found it. I found it. Right. King Arthur
it
missed it.
is. Right.
Yeah.
It's I'm just amazed. I mean, literally, I feel like I have been elevated, pulled out, and told to sit down and shut up.
Well, I mean, people that are in that position are cared for,
Yeah.
I mean, astronauts, are carefully taken care of,
Right.
and you are, you're not in the tower of the castle, because that's a bad place to be. That means your head's coming off. But you are You are to be cared for. You are a delicate flower. You're very important to humanity. You just are.
Thank you.
And it's just a big deal. I don't think there's anybody walking around Earth right now that has more potential for impact than you have. Nobody. There are a lot of people that are seasoned at change for whatever reason, but nobody's got the formula. You got the formula, and you put it together, and it's just correct. It's bulletproof.
Yeah.
I hate to use the word bulletproof in your context because that's not who you are, but you just got it. You got it. I'm speaking as a male, as an alpha male, when I say bulletproof. But I can hide behind you anytime I want to. Go forward, I win. And I don't win. I just have everything I need to live, to elevate and have a better life. Everything. And where do I get that?
Right, exactly.
Where do I
Right.
get that?
In this world.
And what's
But
happening
yeah.
now is that I'm seeing it now happen. It's impacting people around me. I got another letter from our friend Steve. We'll omit his last name for the sake of this podcast. I got another communication from Steve yesterday. It's like everything else. It's like that happens with you in this adventure, is that they start to think about it and then they keep coming back. Well, now wait a minute. Well, I mean, yeah.
Well, it's like anything else, first people just deny it because they don't see a difference, there's no discernment. It's like it looks like an apple to me. What's the big deal? You
Exactly.
don't under
Yeah,
right.
exactly. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then they start
Yeah.
to get it. And then once they realize, holy cow, this is what it is, that's when they start running on fire.
I've had people say, well, I could have written that. I just have to, I'm very careful how I answer that question. I just say, yeah, man. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah.
Why didn't you?
Why didn't I what? Say you couldn't?
No. If somebody
You're
said that to
crazy?
me about my book, if somebody said that to me about my book,
Yeah.
I could have written that. I would have said, why didn't you?
See? Yeah.
Because we're all needing this. Why didn't you?
Yeah.
So,
Well, I'm holding Sean
because
Carroll's book right now. There's something is deeply hidden. And it's been hidden. You have been hidden, and you bootstrapped yourself to this position. You're not sponsored. It's all about you. You bootstrap yourself here. And that's all the more admirable, I think, that you're not, you don't have somebody else's brand tattooed on your ass. It's
No.
all you. It's all you.
Well, that's why, like right now, I feel like I'm floating in the silence. You need contemplate. There's nothing left to say. It's just, you look back and you think, all this time I'm just literally focusing on love, just what I am doing every moment of every day, what I'm focused on. If it were digging a ditch in the backyard, nobody would care. But for me, it was like, no, but I'm focused on my hole. I got to keep digging. So I'm not paying attention to what's going on. It was never about, hey, everybody, come look at my hole. It was just like, I got something to do. And, just doing that, doing that, doing that. And then all of a sudden, people are like, hey, have you seen that hole?
Yeah. I didn't know she was digging the
And just it's just pretty magical just where I'm at. Like even this morning, when I was walking the dogs, this little squirrel scurries up from the ground in the bushes up the tree, and he runs onto a branch, and of course he caught my attention, and I turn around and look at him, and he turns around on the branch and just stares at me. He's literally like 4 feet away from me, and I've got both the dogs, and they don't even care, which is so not like, especially Nala, because Nala will catch that sniff on the breeze and is like, there's a varmint somewhere, and she'll start pulling me, like we have to go catch it. And I'm just standing there looking at this squirrel, and this squirrel's looking at me straight in the eyes, and I'm talking to him. And I'm just telling him how beautiful he is, and I love you, and what were you eating today? Whatever it is, I was just, and he's looking at me, and his little head is, like he's listening. And I'm just amazed that he's not afraid of me.
Well,
Normally,
yeah,
they just run.
no, he for sure he was listening, or he or she, whatever it was, very definitely listening, and I think that can be supported, and I think and that's essentially that's a panpsychism. I mean, that's a branch of what some people call pseudoscience, but a lot of people call it legitimate science, not least of which is Sam Harris's wife. And I think that's what happens. I think that you, if you're ready for it, like you are ready for it pretty much nonstop. But if you're ready for it, and you're open to these various frequencies that are in time space or space time, and they're systems. They're not force fields. They're quanta. It's quanta of material. And the sine waves. And once you're ready for that, and you're in whatever hertz it is, unless if you're just thinking in 38,000 hertz as you walk along, because you've sort of elevated yourself to 30,000 hertz, and you bump into this squirrel, and the squirrel's right there. And you say something to the squirrel, and you say something to the squirrel essentially mentally, as well as physically. Mentally, well, the squirrel is no different than your neighbor, at 15,000 hertz. The squirrel says, "Hey, how are you?" Yeah, same with
Yeah,
the
he was
crow.
fascinated.
Of course he
He
was.
was like literally just staring at me.
Yeah, I mean, but you're describing a branch of science. You're describing panpsychism. It's just, but the thing is, who. How many people do you know that can do that? Most people, first of all, they might not even care because they think that they're the chosen species, which is a huge mistake because they're not. Animals are amazing creatures, obviously. And you have got it. You've figured it out. And you figured it out by bootstrapping again yourself into that position to where you can walk down the street, whether it's a crow or a squirrel or whatever it is, they will stop and pay attention to you. All right? That's the real deal, Marilee. You're the real deal. And you could be having this conversation with Annika Harris, and she'd want to interview you. Or you could be at a conference with Roger Penrose, and he'd want to interview you. Because you are real. You're the actuality of panpsychism. I know that because I'm a studied scientist. You're
And I'm not.
not,
And I'm not. No. That's what makes us so interesting, is that I could just be me and you can tell me who I am.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at this little squirrel looking at me, and I said, "What do you see? What do you have to tell me?" "I don't know, and I'm looking at him, and then it was enough, and then he decided to go up the tree, and I said, "Okay." So then I walked, and I didn't know, but I decided to look it up, and it's the sign of abundance, which I've looked up the squirrel before, and I don't remember having that definition. So it was kind of interesting. It says squirrels symbolize abundance, fertility, and new beginnings. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's
Good
happening.
timing, squirrel.
Exactly. Thank you for the message.
Yeah.
And then and I mean, just within what, a couple hours later, I get the text and it's like, we need more books. We need more books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, I think it's the, if you read, and I always, my fallback position is native culture, but in the River of Life, which is which is one of the best books ever on biomass and native tradition, at least in the PNW, Pacific Northwest. It's just wonderful how these elevations can happen with sage and with sweat lodges and with thinking and sitting on the banks of the Columbia River and watching it happen. And I've done that, and I've practiced it, and I've made an effort to try and do that. And it works. I mean, you meditate and you do it to music, to drums and to bowls and things. I do it to the sound of animals and to whatever else I'm doing it to, wind, something. And but it's the isolation, it's the ability to be able to do that, and it's that again, the if your capacity is like a funnel, you know, light quanta is represented in science by two funnels stuck the point ends stuck together. So if you're the funnel and your information is coming in the top of that, you're opening yourself up and it's being compressed as you listen to it. And then as you elevate, it comes out the bottom, spreads again, and you become large. You become large, but your largeness is not you gaining weight. Your largeness is your capacity coming out of the out of what you project in all the in all of the spectrum that is, you know, the non-visible spectrum that you're producing. You're producing a huge amount of non-visible spectrum. And there are things like, you know, I mean, there could have been a spider, an arachnid in the grass today that also had looked at you and said to his spider buddy, God, did you get that? Are you getting that, the conversation with that squirrel up there?
Right. It's just a different frequency that we can't tune into.
That's right.
And I love it.
Absolutely, because it's real. That's real. I mean, all these things. I mean, crabs are the most sophisticated seers that we know of in that genre. They see way better than we do. Way better.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad to me because I always think, gosh, dang it, we just, toss them aside, kill them and eat them.
Bad
You
idea.
know,
Bad
and
idea.
yeah, it's like fourth thing, it's like the same with octopus, they're so intelligent. It's like, how could you eat that?
Well, yeah, although the movie that got the Academy Award probably stopped a lot of octopus eating. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, the my what is it? My octopus or my what is
Oh,
the guy
yeah.
had a relationship with the octopus?
Yeah.
I think I saw that movie twice. I think that
That
probably
was so
changed
good.
a lot of octopus eating in the local restaurants. And
Yeah, when you start having respect for the world around us, it's like everything is God. It's living. It just has a different form.
yeah.
And that's the playground of creation.
Well, I think it's Evan Alexander and Newell who said it's like if you're living in a mindful universe, if you allow yourself to live in a mindful universe, then the universe meets you straight away. And people don't get that. And I don't think religion for religion's sake, promotes that either. I think it comes from a different source. It comes from people that are mystical, mystics, as opposed to religious theists. Not, I'm not putting them, I'm not going to put them aside as
I know.
being bad. They're just fine. It's just that I think that there's so much more to it that isn't that doesn't has nothing to do with with compliance. It's not about compliance, it's about opening up to the universe.
It's about becoming one.
Yes.
One with it instead of believing in something you can't see.
Yes. Be it. Just be it.
You gotta be it. Be it. Just be love.
Yeah, The Better Angels of Our Nature. Steven Pinker at Harvard wrote that book, The Better Angels of Our Nature. We are getting better. We are getting better as a species. We're getting better. It's hard to figure sometimes, but we're getting better.
Yeah, well, maybe the greater collective of us, we are getting better. We know what we want. We're trying to find our way home. We want simpler things. We just want to love, be happy, and the media and, the controlling factor wants us to see things differently, as if our world is divided and it's hatred and people are evil and hurtful. And this, it's like we don't want that.
We do no, we don't. I mean, people become overexploited by power. With people that want power, they exploit people. We don't need that. We don't need You don't need to exploit anybody. If you are part of a sacred resource, if you are communicating with a sacred resource, which essentially is everything that's in the right room as opposed to the left room, ha ha ha, I'm getting that down.
Yes. Good. Yeah.
Then it's a sacred resource. Water is a sacred resource.
Oh yeah. Yes. Ugh, it's so hard to watch people you love just drink crappy water and make allowances for it. Just it's like, no, it's not okay.
See,
It's not
I
okay.
think that people in this conversation, people who conquering people who have what they feel is a manifest destiny to take over something are just basically wrong. We end up with all of these borders, all of these lines of demarcation of who we are and who we're not because of manifest destiny of a country in South America or North America or whatever it is. We don't need any of that. Nothing. People should just
I
be
know.
allowed to be wherever they are. Wherever they want to be,
Right.
just let them be. Stop nailing them down with paperwork, and who cares what the border is, and become what. Well, anyway, I mean, there's a lot of guys. I
It's
mean,
all made up.
of course it is. I mean, you, I, you, you. I mean, I'm willing to say it now, or I wasn't willing to say it before because I was sort of, stuck in Wall Street, but. You're just dead on the money. You're dead right. We don't need that stuff.
No.
And it's the purity of who you are is wonderful.
Yeah.
I just it's I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you ever watched the movie Clara when 2019, but at the end of that movie, I don't want to give it away, but at the end of the movie, the last part of that movie is incredible.
You can tell me. I won't. I mean, even if I do watch it, I'll forget. I'll be in
Well,
it.
Clara, the female lead, is a waif sort of off the street. She's not a waif, but she doesn't have any official talent. Who meets a guy who's nothing but official talent? He's a scientist. He's an astrophysicist, and she's a I need a job. Well, it turns out she's the one with all the talent. Surprise, surprise. So then they go through together, and he recognizes that to his credit. But she's dying, and he doesn't know that. Well, and then so it goes through, and they do that. They find the exoplanet. They do stuff that's really quite remarkable, are given credit for it, are attacked for it, whatever the stuff that happens with the normal, da-da-da politics. Anyway, she dies. Well, their connection is so strong that he, in his examination of the interstellar, they're communicating, and she's gone. He calls her name like he's listening to her. It's like Clara, is that you? So that's a wonderful relationship between those two. It's a great movie, one of my favorite movies ever.
I've never heard of it. Clara?
Clara, yeah. Clara. I don't know if that's very high on the, golden rotten apples thing or whatever it
Right.
is. Maybe a little bit too over the top for a lot of people. But it doesn't hijack the study of metaphysics. It's a transcendent relationship between these two people. It goes beyond what's normally perceptible, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think, I was talking about panpsychism. I think in the let's take it another step further. Let's say that you're out there with the squirrel today talking, and the squirrel dies, falls out of the tree. Okay? There's a transmigration of the souls of the two people between you and the squirrel. The squirrel and you have not disconnected. That's a trans, that's called in science, that's called transmigration. It's because you are in the universe we're in the universe as a collective, all of us. And then that squirrel's position doesn't disappear. As we now know in time science, specifically with people like Carlo Rovelli, is that past and present and future are essentially locked in the same space. So your communication with the squirrel doesn't stop. You just transmigrate to one another, keep going. And you have the capacity to store all that stuff up. All these things that
Yeah.
happen to you don't go away, they're just there.
Right.
Your relatives that might not be walking around with you today doesn't mean they're not there. There's science that says that even the ruts of the wagon wheels through the Great Plains are still harboring the reality of that move, of that trek. So, we just need different glue to understand who we are. We need the glue that's different than government, that's different than oppressive tax policy, that's different from if you don't have a this or you don't have a that, you don't qualify to go here or there. Or like what's his name? The Facebook guy who was outlawed the Lord's Prayer on Facebook. I mean, where did that come from?
Just to stir the pot.
God.
You know, it's really just to stir the pot and wake people up further as to what's going on out there. And, more and more people are definitely, realizing what the heck is going on out there. And, Facebook is just such a cesspool. It's just so controlled. And people, well-meaning people who are just enjoying sharing their baby pictures and wedding pictures and this and that. You're just feeding the beast all your information.
Yeah, I'm guilty of
That's
that,
it.
unfortunately.
We all are.
Yeah.
We all are.
It's all part of the great chain of
Even,
being.
yeah. It's like you want to be in the pool and you want to play around with your friends and I mean so I used to just love playing. Like I had a dating game post once where everybody joined in and I don't know, it was just crazy, but it was so fun. Or just the stories that I write and stuff. It's just that I feel like I'm just dumping it into a cesspool. I don't want to do it.
We're gonna
Yeah.
be kind of busy now anyway,
Yeah.
with other stuff, but
Sure. Yeah, and but the thing is that when you drop something in, if you think of it like this, it's just a dirty batch of water, and you drop something in, it just gets gobbled up.
yep.
And very, very few people see that. It just becomes part of, the AI system, and who you wrote it for or meant it for, those people don't get to see it. Now it's like, what am I doing this for? it's discouraging.
So it's like the internet social media is kind of like a skinwalker, a transcendent demon of some kind that runs around gathering up your information.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like a resume, really.
It's a perversion of good as opposed to evil. It's a perversion of good, so it is evil in
Right.
its own way. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's just one or the other. And you know, I mean, it is like a resume because when people go out and look for jobs and things, they want to know what your handle is on social media. Posting and everything. You know, it's like, okay, your resume looks great, but let me see who you really are.
Yeah, your signal's falling. You're going into
Oh,
a
can you hear me now?
yeah, I can hear you now. But you are like a you're like a sine wave. You're going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know, the Facebook is like, it's the go-to. When, if I'm going to hire you, you're going to give me this resume. It's going to make you look all good and everything, but I really want to know who you are. So give me your handle. You know?
Oh, yeah.
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 Let me see who you really are.
Yeah.
You know, and people, I mean, there's no discretion. You know, they put all kinds of personal information and gripes and situations. You know, and they display all their way of thinking, which is contrary to love, typically, because they don't know what they do. The perspective isn't quite spot on.
I was one time. It was just like it works against you sometimes, but I was going to. I was applying. I was doing a resume, I guess, for a teaching position at a university.
Yeah.
And I found out that they were going to optically read my resume. Through,
Optically.
yeah. In other words, no human being wasn't going to read it. Two or three
Oh.
machines were going to read it first, looking for
Okay.
keywords. Then a real person's gonna. So I write this absolutely blisteringly nasty letter to the university. I get a
Okay.
call from the dean of men,
Yeah.
who says, "I wish I had your willingness to say stuff like this." He said, "You're dead right. You're dead right." He said, "I know I can't." He said, "It's God bless you, you know. By the way,
Yeah.
you don't you're not going to get the job, of course, or maybe or you'll probably never get any kind of a job, John, but yes, you bet you're right."
But you are right. But we won't have that here. Yep, isn't that the truth? Gosh, dang. You know, just ruled by order and, you know, conformity and illusion. And nobody can state the truth of what it is.
Heavens,
It's
no.
wrong.
If you say the truth,
Right.
you'll lose tenure. God help us.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang.
Yeah.
It needs to change. It
Well,
just does.
I think it's one of my that's one of my proudest achievements is to have been thrown out of, three major universities. I think that's terrific. Based on my attitude. Who can say that? Not very many
Your
people.
tenacity.
Yeah. Yeah, who can say that?
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. Look what you've accomplished.
Well, that's true enough. I mean, if I had been if I had stuck with any one of those things, I might have been just another, cog in their wheel, and I'm certainly not that anymore,
Right. Which is, you know, unfortunate too, because when you don't know and you're hoping to gain some sort of authority or, you know, value by attending these schools, and then you come out and go, well, now what do I do? That didn't work.
Well, I mean, I think some of these it's like, it's like the United States government had assimilation policies for natives. You would assimilate into the U.S. culture, American, Western European culture, cut your hair, da 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 da, or this is
Wow.
how it's going to be. We're going to kill the buffalo. We'll kill all the buffalo because that's your, and if you want to, they did all that stuff, right? I think the big corporations they do the same thing. They do the same thing exactly. It's an assimilation. Once it's like sticking your fingers in an old-fashioned wringer. Once the wringer's got your hand, you're going right up to your shoulder. Unless you know how to turn the machine off. It's got you. You're in the grinder.
That's why it takes a lot of courage not to go that
That's
route.
right. Absolutely. And you are such a magnificent example of how to maintain your own courage and maintain course and speed for who you are. And you've done it. And to my luck, to my good luck, not credit, to my good luck, I saw you. And then I had some guy take me aside and say, "You know, I'm going to tell you a story, so get your pencil out."
Well, you know, throughout my life, it's been people see me, but they can't put a finger on it. They can't identify it. They don't know. And that's what you did.
Well,
You identified
I
it.
did. I did identify it, and I did it. Frankly, I did a good job of it. But I believe that people are afraid to they're afraid to be you because you don't represent a firewall bastion against comers. You represent the willingness, your own willingness to pivot away from bad. But you're not, you don't run forward with a, you're not a spear chucker. You know, you're not out there with a drum tight shield to keep people away. You just know how to operate. You're an operator. You know how to do it. And it's a practiced thing that you're good at. But you're good at it because you understand what's going on. You become the definition of sustainability in social order. That's what you are. You're the definition of sustainability. If you follow my precepts in the game, says Merrill Lee, you will be able to sustain yourself in society
Yeah, and be
and be
successful.
successful. If you follow this, if you read this book, do what I say, you'll be fine. Okay? It's all true.
But yeah, it is. It's 100%. But it's so simple that it's hard to believe that that would be the answer, you know? Like how? How?
Well, it's all it does is make your story better because eventually when this thing starts to catch on, that'll become sort of academic,
Yes.
because it'll be, you know. Maybe they'll listen to this podcast and say, "These guys were talking about this in, 2024." It's like we were two people in a covered wagon coming across the prairie. You know, I think there's an ocean over there. You know, good. You know.
I don't know. But again, I just put all my faith and trust in God. You know, those who are meant to hear the message will, and you know, the rest will catch on in time.
Right. That's right.
You know, we just have to elevate, we have to see it. It's just, I don't know. It reminds me of like an ocean, like on the, you know, the sandy beaches where it's all crystal clear and you can't help but just want to dive in. It's so beautiful. Why wouldn't you want to get in? There's no sharks. You can see all the way to the bottom for, you know, I mean, for many, many, many feet, yards. Who knows? It's all blue and crystal clear. Why don't you want to get in?
Well, maybe because you can see too much. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, we see too much.
Yeah, you know, I'm better off I
There's
can't see
nothing
very much. Then
there.
I don't have to worry about what might come after me.
Oh my gosh, but there's nothing there. It's just
Well,
clear. It's safe. The water's safe. Get in. It's beautiful and refreshing and, you know, it's rejuvenating. Try it.
I think it's a case of proximity awareness. Their proximity is rather well defined, and most I think a great many people, all right, great many people have a relatively narrow proximity. And as we grow and learn about who you are, our proximity increases. My proximity has increased in knowing you, right? And I have a lot of study on one side, but I still didn't have a lot of proximity awareness when it comes to what you're talking about until I met you. Then it changed. So yeah, I believe that, and I'll go back to my thing about sometimes water can be too clear. It's, people are, if they're not ready to see a long distance, then they want to jump into muddy water because it's a lot simpler. They can only see their hand in front of their face. That's what they're used to seeing.
That's a good analogy too, because if you think about it, if the water is muddy, then it's clearly unsafe.
Yes.
There's reason to pull back. Just be smart about it. Don't go in. You don't know what's there.
Right.
But when it's clear as day, and you're like, "Well, what? Huh? What do I do?" It's almost like you don't want to trust it.
Right.
Why? It
Right.
can't be this clear. It can't be this beautiful, this easy. Can't. There's got to be something.
Well, I started diving, for example, in Pacific Northwest, which is full of talking about diving in water, which is full of the first 30 feet of the water column in the Pacific Northwest is full of plankton, full of stuff. And so you have like a 30-foot visibility scope. That's it. And you're looking at all kinds of stuff. It's all alive around you, but it's pretty narrow. All right. I go down to Tobago, Trinidad, Tobago. And I jump off the back of a boat down there, and all of a sudden I can see hundreds of feet.
Really?
Yeah, and I am petrified when I walk,
What?
absolutely scared to death. I jumped there. I got over that, but my first impression was, I'm not. I was my brain was just overtaxed. It was, it went on tilt. I'm not used
Wow.
to this kind of visibility. I was used to swimming in 30 feet of visibility. And that's what I was used to. I go into 300, 500 feet of visibility, and it's too much data, too much information.
Holy cow.
Scared to
So
death.
you've experienced the analogy we're giving.
Yeah.
Wow. What haven't you
So.
done, John?
Much,
Wow.
actually. Not much.
Well, I would like to experience that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially, another thing is, I feel like over the last 4 years, with just an absolute focus for getting the books out and whatever it is, being locked down and, the psychological repercussions of, 6 feet and blah, blah, blah. And everything else, the information overload. I just feel like, I don't know. I'm like, who am I? Where am I? What am I doing? I'm a little bit lost. And like all the stuff that I've been doing all these years, and gosh dang, I feel like I need to go jump in that clear water.
Well, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I've had enough of this. It feels monotonous. The same story repeating itself for the last 4 years. And I know I'm not the only one. Is everybody's just inundated with the same BS. It's like leading us around like a school of fish to a shiny object, and everybody's just hoping for that clear water. When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? And totally forgetting that, gosh dang it, a lot of days of our life has been stolen. The hell have I been doing?
Yeah, it's all valid. I think it's valid. I think a slow transition, in that kind of situation is that's where nature is very helpful, because there's a lot of freedom there, and
Weird. It's just a weird place to be. Yeah, and just the whole getting comfortable with the working from home, and everything is on the computer because you got to be away from people and just stuff like that. I've gotten to the point where the other day I noticed that I just left the house. I'm like, I just left the house as is, and as I did, I'm like, God, Marilee, you didn't even look in the mirror.
You just walked out.
I just walked out. And I was off to wherever. And I'm thinking, this is what you call like no self-awareness, because you don't even know what you look like. Oh my gosh. I'm like, when did that happen? Weird. And then, I was locked out of oh God, I don't have an account. And I've been trying to verify this thing. It's been not fun and I'm not happy about it. But they wanted me to take a picture with my ID. And so I did, and I'm like, that's what I look like. When did that happen?
I know. I know. I when I got my passport, my last passport, and my driver's license, and those pictures that are never good.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, wow. And I'm stuck with that picture now for like 5 or 6 years.
You know what? And they're looking through the camera. You think you could help me out a bit? Jeez. I had one person like that at the DMV one time, and she was like, let's take it again. We can do better.
Her.
Yeah, she took like four pictures of me. And I'm like, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Oh gosh. Yeah. And I have like recently I had to take my Costco picture again. And of course, I'm never prepared for that. I'm not prepared to take a picture. I see my card. And it's like, oh, well, it's time to renew and you need a picture and none of that. I'm like, all right. So of course I'm not thinking about it. I don't even care. I just stand over there, take my picture, and I look at it. I'm like, what the hell? I had my hair in a clip in the front. And I'm thinking you could have at least taken a clip out and fluffed your hair a little bit. Now you got this dorky picture on the Costco. Duh.
I've got, I look like a hot mop on my Costco card.
And to me, it makes me wonder, it's like, what happens to us, as we get older? And you're kind of like the same person inside, and you're walking around as this spirit and this movement of thought, because you're always in thought, right? Got to be somewhere or whatever it is. Yeah. And you're not really self-aware, like aware of the physical presence of yourself among others. Yeah.
That's right.
Less and less. I think when I was younger, definitely, I knew. I walked out like a powerhouse, man. I knew what I looked like. Now I have totally grown into the, subdued, understated, trying to move through without attracting a lot of attention.
Well, I think that's healthy, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but it's interesting because even though I do that, and then I show up somehow or another, it's still like the same type of response. Like when I go to the farmer's market, people address me as queen, and they yell out and go, there she is, there's a celebrity, and I'm definitely not making an effort. I go with my jeans and a sweatshirt and sometimes with a hat and just saying, I got to get my croissant my
Well, yeah,
yogurt,
but
and
they, I mean,
they
you know,
still.
but they know who you are. They know who you are in advance. I presume they know who you are. And
No, I
so,
don't know. I don't think they do know who I am. That's the
well,
thing. I don't think so. I mean, I know, of course, excuse me, Nassim knows who I am because, I'm talking to him all the time, getting my yogurt.
yeah.
And, and then of course, but others just treat me different.
Well, I can get that all right. I can get that all right. Yes. But I Queen Elizabeth, I think always I always marveled at her, in her when she'd get in her Land Rover and go out and feed the horses,
Yeah.
with a bandana around her head and a long tan coat. But she was still a queen. She was the queen.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening to you in this context, is that you are still, Princess Merily of Solana. That's who you are, and you could look that up. So
Right.
it's not like it's a facade. This is not the Wizard of Oz. And so that carries the ball, that carries today. And then so no matter what happens, you are known for who you are.
Yeah.
You're known. You're known by your. Is something famous about that? You're known by your whatever it is. You're known by something. Anyway, you're known. I mean, I know who you are. I could see you in any context, and I still know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I go in there and start introducing myself that
No,
way.
you don't. No, I think people are aware of who you are. I think that's just happens. And I think that's a natural process. That's a cosmic event that I believe happens when you're tuned into the universe and the space around you, called the aura or the corona in your case, not the aura. You have a corona, be it electromagnetic and other stuff. You just carry yourself that way. Anyway, we're over the hour, and I've got stuff I got to do, and it's just too bad because. A great conversation.
I know. I know. And things are changing so quickly, and whatever it is, it keeps interrupting our playtime.
know, but it'll get better.
It'll get better. Okay. All right. Well, I love you.
I love you too. Be more demonstrative. I love you.
Well, it's like, oh, it's time to say goodbye.
All right, I'll talk to you
Okay.
soon. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.